meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Andrew W.K. back in the studio.
Thank you very much. Very glad to be back. Very, 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 very glad to be back.
Wow, not just very glad.
Well, I realize everyone says they're very glad to be back, but I really, really...
Well, Animal calls everyone dear friends.
Yeah.
That's the same thing,
right? Oh, okay,
right?
Good. Well,
so
yeah.
Really an actual friend would be dear friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just glad that you guys are still doing this. And last time when I was here, I asked you, Dr. Drew, you know, do you really enjoy this? Because you seem to. And Adam, I don't know what to make of it, you know, really, if he's happy to be here or not.
Hold on. What's not to enjoy for Drew? He craps out three syllables every 2 hours and we get paid exactly the same.
That's a good point. That's a discrepancy.
Not a good point. How dare you?
What if for 2 hours a night I took you to a nice place, sat you on a stool,
this is what happens
and wadded up 20s and threw them at you
while you sat there
silently? Would you put up with it?
Look, you're the one who you listed all the certifications. That demands pay.
That's what he says to me. Every time I yell at him, why do we get paid the same amount? I should be paid so much more. And he goes, he always gets indignant. He goes, I'm a doctor.
I do not.
He goes, how dare you? And then he goes, 11 years. And each year he keeps adding on.
Oh, is 1 year counts for two?
9 years of medical school. Now we're up to 11. 10 years from now, it'll be 27 years of medical school. and you know what always shuts him up? I always go, who makes more, you or Seinfeld?
That's right.
And he always shuts his pie hole.
He's been saying that since Seinfeld was on television.
Seinfeld's a very wealthy man.
That's my point, and no degree. There you go.
Okay.
Andrew W.K. is here. I got things to talk about, by the way. I got ideas. I got notions.
Oh,
I got breakthroughs. I got Jack.
Notions.
All right, here we go.
Well, first, let me just plug Andrew and say the CD. Well, here's
but don't plug me, actually. Plug the show.
I'm going to plug the show. Your friend, Andrew W.K., which is on MTV2, and also The Wolf, name of the CD, and we'll hear something off of that as the night wears on. Now, I got a couple things. I came up with an idea that I told Drew over the phone last night because we don't get enough of each other here in the studio. We do speak on the way home on a nightly basis,
and then we're desperately speaking to the last second when our phones cut off. No,
in the hills,
yes,
the phones
yes,
cut off.
Yes.
So it's not like I was wondering this. When you guys see each other outside of the show, is it much like a student sees a teacher?
I avoid him. I put my head down.
He avoids me, but you
walk as fast as possible.
If I make eye contact, he starts hitting me.
Bump into the wall and try to make it by.
Here's the reality: we have to gossip about the guests that we had on the show. Let's see. Well, in about 2 hours, we'll be talking smack about you, Andrew.
Jeez,
that's the way it works.
Until our phones cut out.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll go, I think he's cute, and Drew goes, ew. We gossip.
Yeah.
But we talk. And I've been driving around Los Angeles, and I see nothing but graffiti everywhere.
Oh, that's
now.
Right. That was your plan.
This is a breakthrough. Now, everyone just listen. Los Angeles is really turned into the graffiti capital of the world. I know people think Chicago and they think New York. Here's how I know we got more graffiti than you guys. We graffiti on our rocks.
Yeah.
Okay? You guys paint subway cars. Chicken ass. We do curbs. We do trees. We do rocks. I've seen like squirrels with graffiti on them. We will graffiti anything that's bigger than a coaster and not going anywhere.
Anything you can fit it on an ant.
We do trucks. We do everything. I mean, I drive around through the hills. I see boulders that needed to be painted over.
Yeah.
Is nothing sacred anymore?
No,
is there an endangered species these guys could graffiti?
Condors.
Is there a spotted owl or
graffiti
a California
originally,
condor?
It seems originally graffiti was meant to be man taking over the city environment, but clearly man's now, you know, it needs to move and infiltrate further into nature.
We're going to start graffitiing water, like lakes,
the ocean.
Waterfalls.
If you're not careful, you could get a tag. Someone could tag you while you're walking down the street.
Sand.
I always run in a serpentine fashion to avoid gangbangers who are trying to tag me.
Moving target.
Now, we graffiti our freeway signs.
Yes.
We graffiti stop signs. Every sign on the freeway's got some markings
front
on it.
Front and back.
Front and back, exactly.
Front and back. The back of stop signs are being graffitied. There's nothing that's not being graffitied anymore.
Chris, what is that?
You're asking Engineer Chris? Oh, because he's half Mexican?
Oh,
true. Come on. We don't know. This could very well be the Finns or the Swedes. We don't know what the nationality is behind this writing, although it appears to be a foreign language. I'm not making any judgments here because,
you
as you
can't.
Know,
how dare you?
We cannot judge how every culture is exactly
graffiti
the same.
Is omnicultural. Graffiti is omnicultural.
All cultures are beautiful.
Right.
How dare you?
It's all
if you want to kill your children,
and by the way, you know they got to be white guys doing the graffiti because if you ever see a public service announcement about graffiti, it's always the white guy who hasn't shaved for 3 days. So it must be a white guy doing all the graffiti out there. Good looking, about 5'8", hasn't shaved for a few days. The point is this. Here's my plan. I want to take the signs. Now, we can't scrub these signs. We can't repaint them.
No.
It's costly.
It's futile.
And it takes forever. And then they just come tag it up the next day. Here's my plan. They have a thin film that's 3M makes it. It's a product. You actually put it on the front of your car, on the bumpers. It stops rocks. It stops chips. It's a protect. If you got a $150,000 car and you're driving it to Palm Springs, you put this stuff on it. Once a year, you peel it off and put a new. It protects the bug. It protects the chips. It's like a bra that a Porsche would have, but it's invisible. How about we take our stop signs, our freeway signs, all these signs that are getting tagged, and we put this film on it.
Multiple layers.
Multiple layers. And then when they tag them, we just have a guy peel them off. Yes?
I've actually got a connection to the mayor's office. A friend of mine has been trying to get me to go to a fundraiser for him, and I'll invite you. We'll go talk to the mayor.
They did this. I hate to take your steam out of your sails there, but they did this in New York with the subway cars.
Oh.
They put a finishing, a spray, some kind of coating on the outsides of the subway cars so that if and when undoubtedly people did spray paint, it would just spray off with warm water.
And it worked?
Yeah, but then they started spray painting the film and spray painting the water and spray painting graffiti on the hoses and on the workers that were cleaning the trains.
That's right.
So when the workers came up to clean off, they would bomb them. You know, bomb meaning, you know, attack them with the graffiti cans, not an explosive. And the whole scene would be another graffiti mess. And that was their point. You cannot stop it.
What other ideas you have? That's a bad idea.
That idea sucks.
Well, come on. The protective film.
I like
it.
Your guest calls it bad. So let's go. Keep going.
Wow.
I like that. That's a brilliant idea.
Wait till we talk about Andrew.
Oh, it'll be good.
Don't worry.
It'll be good.
It's such a good idea. Someone else already had it. That's you should be flattered.
You were talking about some sort of protective coating. I'm talking about an actual product
film.
That exists.
A film.
Not a wipe on film, not a spray on film.
A peel on film.
Actual shelf paper sort of thing.
Yeah. Like contact paper.
When you see motorcycle racers and they get two laps in it, and you see them reach up and rip that extra layer they have on their goggles, they'll take their helmet and they'll put it three layers thick.
It's like when you buy a new electronic device sometimes over the screen or over the display,
that's
they'll have a little piece that peels.
That's it.
So you just want anything that peels off at all, even if the stop sign itself could be like many pages.
That's right.
That all are printed with the stop sign, like a pages of a book, each one printed with the stop sign. Some graffiti, you peel it off, there's a new stop sign underneath.
Oh, that's a new twist on that.
Interesting. Interesting.
I'm proud of that idea.
Theoretically strong, but practically very weak.
Possible.
No.
Okay,
anyway.
But still the multi-layer film. Nice. That's number one. Number two, how about in Los Angeles, we start focusing on all the goddamn graffiti that's spread all over the goddamn place.
First, we got to get the smoke under control.
Yeah, and first we got to focus on the secondhand smoke. And because first rate killer, and 50 something thousand people die.
Sound like a beach, you know.
Smoke.
The beach,
that's true.
50,000?
No, nobody dies.
49,000.
They just say they do. And by the way, we're so busy making sure people don't smoke a cigarette in the middle of the pier or middle of the beach that we can't. But nothing about the tagging all over the place. The idea that we have to have razor wire around the freeway signs, it makes it look like it's like Escape from L.A. It's like there's some sort of military compound I think I'm driving onto when I'm going down the goddamn freeway. That, not a problem. Smoking in the middle of the beach, huge problem. Needs to be focused on.
The razor wire actually might be to keep renegade smokers from using the signs as a safe haven.
Oh, that's just the leftover razor wire from the beach. What are you talking about?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic. Really. Some guy blowing a butt out in the middle of a football field of sand. How's that affect your life? A huge
first rate killer.
First rate, yeah. Even with that 20 mile an hour wind blowing offshore, still gonna kill you.
Isn't any kind of killer,
course?
Isn't
you know
all
anything?
All killers should be first rate? How could you have is there a ninth rate killer?
Yes, there are.
Are there? Okay,
it's good.
I thought if you die, it's pretty much that's one rate.
If it kills you,
it's an omni rate.
All right, now, here's another thing. We got plenty of time and plenty of money for some reason. Also, up my street, they towed one of those things that lets you know how fast you're going. So when the thing is marked...
The robotic radar gun.
Again, this is a Los Angeles phenomenon. Explain to people what this is.
First off, it's a device. It's a trailer. It's a digital readout.
It looks like a warning like they'd put on the highway if there's construction, right?
So, yeah. It's a big readout about the size of a plasma screen. I'm sure it costs us $250,000. some guy, even though they never have enough men, they're always short on manpower. There's never enough guys to handle all the calls. We can't put guys at the ports to inspect the containers coming in from the Middle East. But we always have enough guys to drag this crappy thing up there. And let me go. No, I'm going 33 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Oh, I feel like a renegade when I go past there and I'm three. Stop me. Hey, by the way, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to Mexico.
Do they expect you to stop?
I'm not sure if they want an apology. Should I just leave $20 on top of the thing?
Is it next time a cop's going to be sitting here?
Look, there's things that are built in the cars. They're called speedometers. We know how goddamn fast we're going. You don't have to drop $200,000 on apparatus and then pay some retard to tow it up my street to make me feel like an a-hole for going 3 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit, which is about 10 miles an hour slower than it should be anyway.
It's Big Brother, Adam. They want you to know that you're being watched. That's all that's important.
Focus on the gangbangers doing the tagging. Get out there and stop the terrorists and leave the guys that are coasting down the hill alone. Please, for the love of Christ, what are we doing? And who decides, oh, yeah, we got to do more of this and less of that? Yeah, get down to Santa Monica. Make sure no one's smoking on the beach. Get up the hill. Make sure no one's coasting down it 3 miles an hour faster than the speed limit. Would you get that crap out of there? And by the way, for the cost of one of those machines, you could probably pay a guy to work a couple of years on the street.
Oh, yes.
Fix up the potholes.
Yeah, for the cost of that one readout thing with the radar and the digital thing, you'd probably buy a squad car, a guy, and a canine to sit in it for a year. Go get that. Get him out on the street. Stop pussyfooting around. Jesus Christ.
Holy smokes.
Is this town obsessed? By the way, what are we so obsessed with speed for and stuff in this town? And what do? Do you drive around and just see cars on fire? Oh, it's another guy rolled it. Yeah. Guy in his Porsche rolled it 15 times, and then he caught on fire. Cartwheeled. Are we all slamming into each other out there? What's going on?
Yeah, it seems a pretty slow crawl most of the
time. We don't move in this town! Yeah. We know how fast we're going!
Zero!
Nothing! Yeah. We're not going anywhere! I'm excited when I'm exceeding the speed limit.
That's the problem.
I turned around, went back up the hill, went past it again faster.
Liberating. It's very liberating.
Jesus Christ. What's the obsession with the speed? This is the slowest goddamn town in the world! Why are we so obsessed on it? It's really ridiculous. Like, we got the only goddamn city in the world that doesn't move, and we're obsessed on speed. And we got PSAs. Hey, the Highway Patrol's launching a campaign now. Sweep, slow it down. Really? Slow it down? We're not moving! We live in the middle of three of the most congested intersections on the planet. I swear to God, three of the top five freeway most congested traffic per hour on the planet. Angeles is nestled in between those three, the 405, the 101, the 10 over there, the 110. We're between all of those, and our campaign is slow. Here's our message. Slow it down and no smoking on the beach. Those are our messages.
Welcome to L.A.
Fantastic. We got graffiti everywhere. There's big problems with the illegal immigration. We got terrorists going to blow something up. But we need to focus on the smokers on the beach, and we got to slow it down. What about the terrorists? We don't got the manpower. What about the guys on the beach? Well, they're busy. Well, what about the guy towing the multi-million-dollar trailer up the hill? Yeah, he's got that. He's busy with that. And then we got, by the way, we got to buy another right-hand drive meter-made car. Yeah, we got a whole shipment of those coming in.
Because when they're not worrying about speed, they're worried about parking.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And jaywalking.
The good thing, Adam, is at least you're giving solutions. You had your film idea with 3M.
I had my film.
You have, there is no real solution to the slow it down thing.
We're going to go tackle Amir Khan. We're going
to
get him.
I would like to work big to small. I don't know where smoking on the beach lands in most cultures. To me, it's closer to the bottom. Terrorists just barely nips it. just the plutonium that we Channel 4 NBC shipped out to the port of Los Angeles and then carried through downtown LA without being stopped, marginally higher than the beach smoking. Just got it.
But just enough.
Just
enough. Focus on a little.
Just enough, because dirty bombs being detonated in the middle of populated areas, first rate killer too, as well as secondhand smoke.
Well, again, just nudges out secondhand smoke.
Just nudges, and it's hard to tell where guys going 33 and a 30 rank, but that's got to be way up
and
there.
And by
too.
The way, the reason we go more speedily when there's open road ahead of us,
never see it.
Because we're
it's like a mirage.
It appears to be a mirage at first, probably.
Yeah.
It's like when a bear gets into a cooler.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, there's hot dogs. We're not gonna eat them one at a time. We're tearing into the package.
This is what you got me going now. This is what happened to me when I got nailed with that left hand turn that the cop trapped me on.
You got pulled over?
Entrapment.
Yeah, I know exactly where it was.
The only speeding ticket I ever got was a situation. I'm driving down the highway, I-94, going into Detroit in Michigan, and home of the World Championship Pistons, by the way. And I'm driving down the road, and you know, there's these lights pull up behind me, and people kind of ride people's tails in Michigan. That's what they do. And okay, I speed up a little more. I'm probably going maybe 65 now, and these lights just right on my tail pull over, but I'm kind of blocked in by some people next to me.
So I speed up.
Then next thing you know, woo woo woo, they pull me over, and you know, they entrapped.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, here we're very worried about doctors turning left when it's posted no left 4 to 7 p.m.
Certified doctors.
First rate killer, by the way. All right, everybody. Let's see. Are you meeting with the mayor? You meeting with him?
I've turned that all down. We could.
Well, get me over there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
With the guy. Let me straighten him out.
We should be with the governor.
Jesus Christ. What is going on? And listen, somebody with bigger balls than I should just ram that stupid thing that tells you how fast we're going.
This is a new format here on the show.
Where's the taggers? Why don't they tag that thing?
Yeah, you could tag up over it and put your own speed on it.
That's right.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
This is like a ranting show now, though. I don't remember it being this rant-filled.
You came in on a good rant.
I'm fired up.
Okay, good. Well, it is Thursday, after all.
Yeah, that's rant day. Mercy?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I recently found out that I'm allergic to latex.
How did you find that out?
I just got a brand new job, and they did a blood test on me and found out that I'm allergic to latex. But I don't know. I've never noticed that I'm allergic to it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd put that much faith in that test. They do an ELISA test? You don't know what kind of test they did.
I don't know.
Where do you work a blood test?
It was not a skin test. It was a blood test.
Yeah, they took my blood.
Yeah, if you've never reacted
right,
before.
She works at a hospital. So
no, and they said that I'm highly allergic to it.
All right, well, avoid latex.
But
yeah, they make those new condoms that are made out of
Andrew, went right to the condoms.
Yeah,
well, we're thinking about latex gloves over there.
Oh no! When I hear latex,
you think condom.
I think that, and I think S&M restraint.
How about my 3M film that you peel off?
You could use that as a stop for graffiti.
Yeah, and also a good preventative barrier against spread of disease.
Have you ever contacted latex, Mercy?
Yeah, I have. I've been in contact with it since I was younger because my mom works in the hospital.
And you never had a reaction.
She's allergic to it too.
Oh, that's interesting.
There
you got to avoid. You got to use the polyurethane gloves and condoms.
They got them. Because they got them to operate on people who are allergic to latex, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good times.
Good times.
Gwen had an abortion 2 years ago. Still has mental effects. That's a bummer, Drew. Who do we got over here? Heather?
Here you go.
Screwing a 19-year-old? That's better. Heather?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
Having sex with a 19-year-old?
Yep.
Your mom says it's okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Your mom.
Yeah. What is that with your mom?
I wasn't planning on getting into this. Can we get it more explicit now, Drew?
Just of course, but wait till you're a parent, Andrew. Just wait.
I can only imagine. Yet I would have to go by similar rules that my parents set, and I was able to sleep over with my girlfriend at either of our houses when I was 15. So there.
Really? How old was she?
15.
Yeah, but this is an adult. The boyfriend's 19.
Oh, well. See, now here we go again. Now, the difference between 18 and 19, or 17 and 18, and 30 and 33, this is the miles per hour. This is very similar to me. There's a magical
thing that happens.
Between 16 and 18, it's profound.
Magical.
Profound. There's a massive.
For some, I guess that's
the
true.
Dramatic change in the growth of the brain, the development of the brain.
Well,
is she still
wait
on the phone? Because maybe she would know.
Hold on a second.
If she's old enough.
First off, you missed a golden opportunity, Andrew, to use my, yeah, but still, which is what you use. Watch. Watch. Yeah, you correct me. You do what you did, Andrew. Hey, listen, when I was 15, I used to stay over at my 15-year-old girlfriend's house.
Well, how old was your girlfriend? 15. Well, this guy's an adult, and there's a profound difference between 16 and 19.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Yeah, but still. No, this guy's 19. That's it.
This guy's 19.
Okay, let's try it again. You ready? I was 15. I used to spend the night at my girlfriend's house. She was 15. I was okay.
Heather's talking about a boyfriend who's 19.
Yeah, but still. You see?
See? Worked.
End
shut
of
me up.
Really shut does. Him up, and you're still sort of right.
It's so powerful.
It's powerful.
Thank you. I remember that. And for all kinds of situations, I can use that.
Yes, yeah, so you can work that in later on.
Where's my age of consent?
I don't know. She's calling from Wisconsin. Hey, Heather. Oh, wait a minute. Put her on hold. That's why. All right, Heather. Wait a minute. Andrew, you got to sleep at your girlfriend's house. What about her parents?
They were cool, too. They were cool, too. And see, you couldn't
cool.
Believe.
They were strung out on heroin.
No, listen to me.
Were you having sex?
My dad is
were you having sex?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
And their parents, did everyone's parents know you're having
sex? I told my mom that we did, yeah. And
her parents. Her parents.
Yeah, they were fine with it, too. They really were. Our parents could have been more different. Hers were younger, a little more liberated. My dad's like a college professor, and my mom is a mom. So there's no one reason in particular why it worked out. They just, I think, felt like it was okay. Who knows? I've talked to my mom about it since, and she said it was very challenging for her. But clearly, I turned out okay.
Do you see those kids you met a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
14, 15.
Yeah, it's intense. It's okay. Very intense. Because when my brother's 20, and even now I can't picture him, you know, having sex.
Now, did they talk to you about protection? What about the parents of your girlfriend when you would go sleep over and stuff?
I felt uncomfortable, to be honest. That's the thing, is as much as it puts everybody in a kind of awkward position. You know, when I get up in the morning, I walk down, there's her dad getting ready for work, and you know, oh, good to see you. It was weird because I felt
wow.
I was trying to be something maybe that I wasn't, meaning
right.
A man.
Right.
I learned a lot from it. It was my first girlfriend. I was with her for 5 years in the end. And so it was a very positive
experience.
By the
way, that's part of the problem. You really should have been with somebody for 5 years at that age?
Oh,
Think about it.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
I feel fine.
No. Would you have done it differently though? If you could?
Oh no, absolutely
because,
not.
Because you missed all those years of potentially meeting other people and dating.
But he was banging away like a chimp and under the roof with the blessing of the father.
One of my points has always been is that 15, 16-year-olds that start having sex are usually locked together for 4 or 5 years because it's such an intense bond.
Well, yes,
and you miss development basically. You miss and then you end up leaving that person always.
I agree with this, and I think that's good to point out for anyone listening. But at the same time, any choice you make is going to result in the obsolescence of other choices, where you're always going to miss something one way or another. So hopefully,
opportunity costs.
Yeah, you make the best of whichever way you go for it. And I certainly was going for it in that bedroom, I'll tell you.
Well, let me ask you this: you guys say this started at 15. You must have been together for some time before you started sleeping over, right?
Yeah, probably 14 and a half, right into 15.
When you started sleeping over 15?
Yeah, 15 was when we started.
So you really, whoa. Her parents only knew you as their as the boyfriend for about 6 months?
Yeah.
Which is a fairly substantial period of time
at that
when
age.
You're 15 or 14
what year
or whatever.
What was the date of history?
Let's see. Well, it was like 90, if it was 2004, that would be minus 4, I'm 25. So that was 10 years ago.
94.
Yeah, it's about 93, 94.
Wow.
Yeah,
I can see that.
70 for wow, awesome.
But we should point out that is a unique situation, and like you said, if it was my own child, I don't think I would be able to go through it.
Let me say this too.
Can't judge Adam.
We can. I bet. I'll tell you one thing. I'll bet you that these parents trusted their daughter quite a bit. Not just turned a blind eye to things, but she was probably upfront. She was probably honest, and they were probably stupid and gullible quite a bit.
Stupid and gullible.
No, and I bet Andrew was probably minus the bleeding forehead back then and the beard. Andrew, when he wants to put on the charm,
probably
can do a good job. Smart, yeah. and I'm very respectful. And
head of the debate team, chess club.
No, I bet you Andrew, who is probably wise beyond his years at 15, didn't seem like a trouble. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think
they definitely still gave me the benefit of the doubt.
I bet it was one of those things that when the parents do this, and Drew disagrees with this, and it's probably not the greatest parenting, but they think this way. They go, better than go out and get drunk at a park with some hooligans, you should stay at home and I'll get you a six-pack.
That's what Andrew did.
Let him bang you. Instead of getting raped at a party with roofies and Robitussin, let Andrew bang you under our roof.
Yeah, Andrew, but still.
Andrew, you need a towel. You're cool. You need a place to finish. What do you need, son?
Actually, I need a little more lubricant.
You need some more water.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you'll never believe this, but...
Hold on.
Can I get more graphic here?
We got to take a break. Yes, and then you can get more graphic.
Okay, thank you.
But you have to remember to get more graphic when we come back.
I'll remember.
Andrew W.K. is here. The Wolf is the name of the CD. Your friends, Andrew W.K., name of the show, MTV2. Show premiered Saturday, May 27th. Premiered? Oh, okay, yeah. It's a month
old. It's been going for, about a month now.
All right.
Saturday nights at 6 p.m. here in West Coast, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings everywhere else.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Vandals are coming on Sunday night. Andrew W.K. in studio tonight.
Thank you.
The Wolf, name of the CD. We'll hear something off of that. Also, your friend, Andrew W.K. on MTV2, Saturday nights.
Yes.
All right. Andrew was going to get a little more graphic.
Okay, I just wanted to... We were talking about...
Let's reset. Andrew was 15, he used to sleep over at his girlfriend's
house.
Which
was my first girlfriend.
Right.
He was with her for 5 years.
She was also 15.
With the blessing of not only his parents, but her parents.
Yes.
All right, and you guys would have sex.
Yep, and you had made a joke about the parents coming in and saying, how's it going? Uh-huh. You know, do you need a towel? Uh-huh. And it's not as bad as what you're thinking, but they would... We would use their condoms, and they would get us condoms, and they would get us the natural sheep intestine condoms that were theirs.
Why?
And I don't even know. Like that is pretty intense,
and they're giving you the good stuff too.
Yeah, the real night Ramses, you know, or whatever those ones
sure.
are. Or, you know, it was or the gold
but
coin.
They want you guys to get an STD or something?
Oh, are those bad?
No, then.
Hey, you protect against AIDS. Your girlfriend
have
AIDS?
Well,
no, that's true. No, she didn't because we lost our virginity to each other.
Yeah.
So we felt pretty confident in that.
Unless they call it grids back then. Now, Andrew, here's a question. I
call it maze.
Here's the truth people call it maze. Here's the real, here's the test. Do you keep in touch with her and how did she turn out?
Well.
Because that'll let us know how this experiment worked.
Well, the guy always turns out okay from these.
Yeah, if she killed herself at 21 because she was strung out on junk, I'm not going to go
this route.
Of course,
Andrew does have this thing coming in his forehead and all.
We should explain. I have a cut on my forehead, which I think, depending where you live, you could actually see in a more bloody state on the Craig Kilborn show, which I will be on later this evening. But what
happened?
Oh, wait a minute, Drew. Hold on. Drew, does anyone do worse radio than you? Let him answer his goddamn question. Then get
what were we talking about?
We're wanting to know how she turned out.
I haven't talked to her in a while, but I did keep in contact with her. Before I ever knew her, I was good friends with her older brother, who I kind of idolized.
Wow. Sleeping over.
Yeah, he was really cool, and I still see him around. They're kind of mutual friends between a lot of people I know. But
how did she turn out?
She seems fine, as far as I can tell. Happy, and maybe a bit at a loss for exactly what she wants to do, but that's not completely uncommon.
Lives at home?
No, I don't believe so. She actually was like her brother, very independent, and though she is very close with her mom and her parents, she moved to New York with me when we were 18.
Wow.
Together.
She only goes home to screw. Dad, what's going on? I just need to use the room. Could you clear it out? Yeah. I got to get
have
some.
A date. Yeah.
Then I'm going back to my
Holy
apartment.
Holy smokes. But I was saying, I never have talked about this really so openly like this, and it is a bit bizarre that I got to do that.
It is weird. I'll tell you a fun thing in life. It's actually better if you're high on mushrooms. But take a little time out. Go back and look at those things in your life that you just... Now, here's the thing. When you're a kid, whatever is, and that's the way it is for everybody, it seems.
Or you fight for it.
Well, here's what I mean. I just mean, culture. It's almost like saying, look, if you grow up in the Serengeti in Africa, you're going to have a certain kind of lifestyle. You're going to grow up looking at cheetahs, and it's going to feel very normal to you. You're never going
to
think about it.
You have no perspective to compare
it
to.
You have no perspective. You have nothing to compare it to. Once in a while, now you get outside the house, you meet new people, you start seeing other families and how people were reared and how it works. You go back and look at some ass that went down in your family, and all of a sudden you go, wow. No, that was wrong, or that was weird, or I was lucky, or I was unlucky.
Or it was awesome.
Or it was awesome. Andrew, where do you go from there? You can only go sideways, though, from there. Do you know what I mean? You're sleeping over at your girlfriend's house at 15.
Still not clear that she turned out okay. She has relationships now?
Yeah. She's okay. Yeah, she had a boyfriend, not immediately after me, but who was a bit older than she was. Mm-hmm. But he seemed cool. I've never even met him. I hope she's doing fantastic. I think in some ways, yes, people have wondered with me, you know, well, don't you wish you had gone to see a lot different girls then and gone on dates? And I haven't had that many girlfriends. I've only had like four or five in my whole life, and they've usually been either very short or long.
How old do you know?
25.
Yeah. Short or long?
They've been short or long.
Well, not medium.
Short,
medium.
Long, or medium. But nothing else. All right. Andrew WK here. You guys writing this down? This is heavy.
This is good.
Yeah. Andrew also told us during the break that he only dated Caucasian, Asian, Hispanic, Black, and Eskimo women.
Only humans.
And then any other country you guys have ever thought of for pictures. But that's it. That's it. And tall and short ones. And
then it's a Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra vibe.
Yeah, let me say this about, we got to take some calls. Yeah. But I was thinking about, I don't know why Andrew just brought up Yogi Berra, but I was thinking about Yogi Berra, the cartoon.
Yeah.
He wore a hat and a tie with a collar, no pants or shirt.
Like right. Chippendales vibe.
People didn't find that disturbing, idea. But imagine you with it, somehow the collar makes it creepier. You with a collar, a tie, a hat, and no pants.
What did Boo Boo have?
I think he wore a bow tie and no pants.
That's even weirder.
As long as the cuffs match the collar.
Yeah. Chippendale.
All I'm saying is that's a very creepy look if you were to sport that at the office.
Hey, boo-boo. Make a Nick basket. Anyway.
All right, Matt?
Yeah, what's up?
Wait, we never even finished with Heather.
Yeah.
Taking half a call tonight. Heather?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did we finish? Right.
Thanks for holding so long.
You got Andrew going on a banging miner's jag.
Oh, yes,
you call it a tangent. I call it banging miner's jag.
What is your question?
Well, since my boyfriend's 19 and my mom said that, we could be together, can he still get in trouble from the police?
Yes.
He can?
But usually somebody has to make trouble.
Yeah, someone's got to.
It's not as though they're going to stop him.
He's taking a risk no matter what.
But it's not as though they're going to stop him on the street if they see you two walking together.
Yeah, okay, and we
might give you
know,
a weird look, though.
I don't know what the age of consent is in Wisconsin. Drew wasn't able to.
I can't find
find his paper. Don't talk to Chris.
It is 18. 16,
okay, so it could 15. Be. It could Wisconsin. It could be legal. Why don't you get on the internet and find out, Heather?
Okay.
Type in right. Consent.
And take care of those sinus problems, will you?
I have a cold. Shut up.
No kidding.
Just all drink right. Fluids.
And she told you to shut up, Drew. All right, Heather. I'm sure you'll go very far in life.
Okay.
You sound like a delight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I like the tag. Aww. I like to just tag her.
You guys.
Mark her migration while she's went in a circle between like the Arby's and the TGI Fridays.
The Circle K. And,
and just several. I'd lose track.
Oh, come on.
All right. We got to be cruel. Well, she told Drew to shut up.
It's all right.
Only I can yell at
her. That was a...
It was a gut reaction, not a...
That was a shit
ass. Yeah, being put on the spot. Yeah, it was friendly.
I'm
sure. Matt?
What's up? Appreciate taking my call.
What's happening?
Well, you guys want to know the whole scoop?
Well, it says here you're blind from a meth lab explosion.
Holy That's true.
That's crazy. Now, when you say blind, you mean can't see light?
I can barely see light out of my left eye. I'm totally can't see nothing out of my right.
Holy cow. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Wow.
I'm not sure why, but my parents thought it was cute to give me liquor when I was young. So the first time I got drunk, I was 6.
Yeah.
Started smoking cigarettes when I was 9. Yeah. Started smoking marijuana when I was 12. When I was 16, started using meth and cocaine.
All right. Mm-hmm.
By the time that I was 18, I was pretty much gone. Lost my job, everything. And the only way to support my habit, I was homeless. It was to start manufacturing.
Wow.
Learned real quick, got in it, and that was my security, I guess you could say. I didn't really have anything to worry about. When I was 20, met this girl, met her dad. He handed me a thermos of anhydrous ammonia, which is, farmers use it as a fertilizer, meth cooks use it to cook.
Right, right.
It was covered in snow, and I squatted down to clean the snow off of it, looked to see that the lid was shut, and boom, it blew up about 18 inches below my face.
Really? So that's how you went blind?
Yeah. Right. And a lot of people think that, oh, well, it's a fire explosion, but it wasn't. It was just a chemical free. It froze my face.
Mm. Oh, really?
Me. Yeah.
Have you called before?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead.
Nope.
So it was an explosion from the pressure that built up inside the thermos?
Exactly.
And what came out of it was freezing liquid or gas?
Yeah. Freezing liquid. That's what anhydrous ammonia is, a gas.
Uh-huh.
And it's condensed under pressure. It makes itself, it condenses into a liquid, I guess.
I'll tell you one thing. Hold on a second, Matt. You know, we talk, you know, drug dealers and everything, but the only people that, like, know the metric system or anything about chemicals or anything are the guys who manufacture drugs.
The chemists.
Yeah, they know how many grams are in a kilo. They can break that whole thing down. This guy really sounds like a pharmacist here.
That's right.
He's smarter than everybody who calls the show. So the thermos blow up on him. Matt?
Yep.
All right, well... So. And now, what? By the way, what was your girlfriend's dad doing? Was he trying to help you out or trying to?
No, he knew how to make it, but it wasn't as good as what I was making, and he wanted me to teach him my way of doing things.
So you blew up. You called the ambulance, and you went to the hospital.
No, actually, when I picked myself up off the floor, he was nowhere to be found. I walk outside, and I mean, this stuff burnt my face. It burnt my lungs.
Took off.
Yeah, he took off.
Wow, what a creep.
You could still see at that point?
Yeah, it was real, real blurry, but yeah, I could see.
And then that was it.
Her mom ended up showing up about 20 or 30 minutes later, and Dr. Drew, I knew I was going to die. I couldn't breathe.
How long ago was this?
It was 3.5 years ago.
It was 20.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What, why, I mean, Drew probably knows, and Matt probably knows, too. If you could see, not too well, but still see immediately after it.
Probably scarred over his cornea.
Then it's scarred up?
Yeah.
So you went in, there's nothing they could do about it.
Well, actually...
corneal transplants?
I did have a corneal transplant on my right eye.
Yeah.
And most people think after what I've been through, because I was on life support for like 11 days.
Because of the lung problem.
Yeah. And most people think that'd be enough to make me quit using, but... I was back out in the parking lot getting high at the hospital, and I ended up.
That is there, ladies and gentlemen. That is the magic of addiction. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Dr. Drew, that ain't half of it. I ended up checking myself out against medical advice when they caught me. Yeah. If I'm, you know.
Again, the drive to use is more powerful than the drive to survive.
So I'm totally blind. I had to wear a bandana over my eyes because the sunlight hurt so bad. And before my eyes were even healed, I was back out there stealing anhydrous, totally blind, and making meth again, totally blind.
Can I ask you a question?
Wow.
Did you use store-bought ephedrine?
Pills, yeah.
Yeah.
Pills.
Were you ever one of these cooks that was, you know, sort of put offshore and made big batches for organized people, that kind of thing?
Like, no, not for organized.
The guys, I've had patients the guys that make extra good amphetamine get swooped up by kind of organized crime. They put them out on a boat. And they just have them cook nonstop for like 3 weeks, then they sort of kick them back out on the street.
Yeah, wow. I'm in the Midwest in Illinois, so we ain't really the closest we get to is the river.
Wow.
Well, this is what happens with all the laws that keep this stuff so, it's so cracked down, you know what I mean? The people have to resort to this kind of underground, dangerous ways of surviving.
What are you doing now? So are you still getting high?
No, actually... after I had the cornea transplant, I lost that. I went back totally blind again for using meth. My eye got infected.
Oh, my God. So you were on your way to having vision, and then you lost it again.
When they took the patch off my eye, he asked how many fingers he was holding up. I told him two. I walked out of the hospital without a stick. I was so happy. That happened 4 months after the accident took place. But the doctor never knew that I was still getting high. So I ended up losing it.
My mom was
an alcoholic. She ended up getting drunk one night. My little brother told her that I was still cooking dope blind. And the best thing that she ever did, I remember her beat me bloody when I was a kid. The best thing she ever did for me, Dr. Drew, was she called the task force on me.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So So I ended up getting arrested, man, and I was
By the way, Drew, this is your childhood. This is exactly... I mean, from what you've told me, this sounds like...
Between Andrew and Matt, yes, it's exactly how I lived.
So I ended up getting charged with a Class X, carry 6 to 30 years for unlawful drug conspiracy, and a Class 1, 4 to 15 years for possession of a methamphetamine manufacturing.
You become an expert when you get into drugs.
Law chemist.
You really should. Otherwise,
medicine.
You're doubly screwed.
All right, so we got to go to break, but what is it?
Well, they ended up giving me 6 years. I just got out. I did 2 years on it. I did a year in a joint. I was the first blind person ever to be accepted in a work release program, but they wanted me to go to school, sent to Bender, learn Braille, learn how to type, started writing a book. And I wanted to, they said, well, what do you want to be? I want to be a drug counselor. So I went my first semester and through college at Illinois Central College to be a drug counselor. Walked out with a 3.5 grade
point. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, good job, man.
Also, to help me, because I mean, I have to work a 12-step program or I'll be right
back. You betcha, man.
And I'm trucking real hard. But another thing that helps me relive my story is I talk to kids at schools and high schools. The thing is that people don't know what they're getting themselves into.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
Like getting themselves into when they have you come talk to them?
No, with doing drugs.
Oh, I'm guessing doing drugs. All right, I got to cut Matt off because we got to take a break and we're going on minute 15 with Matt. An incredible story.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to hear exactly what happens to people.
And I think we did. So,
but isn't recovery a miracle? Look, imagine you met Matt in the depths of his disease, out in the parking lot shooting dope with the eye patches on, and now look what you got.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Very impressive.
That's what keeps me in the field is a few mats and a year, and
there's
always hope.
You
keep going.
There's always hope.
Yeah, that and the money. We'll take a quick break. Andrew WK in tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE. 191. Andrew WK here tonight. Your friend, Andrew WK, name of the show. MTV2, Saturday nights. Also, The Wolf.
Can I explain about the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, he's still on the phone, though. We shouldn't do that again.
No.
Here's what we should do. Here's what we need to do. I say, because we only got about 4 minutes here, I say we take two calls.
All right.
And we don't talk. We just take two calls. And then we come back after the break.
And then we
hear a song from Andrew WK. And Andrew explains about the show.
Okay, quick.
Jacob.
Yes, me?
You're 13?
Yeah.
You're a huge fan?
Of the Three Stooges, The Simpsons, George Shrinks, and Cyber Chase. You know that cartoon, George Shrinks, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's about that small kid named George.
All right.
Oh, the genius? Is that the genius?
Smart kid.
Yeah, you've seen a cartoon called Cyber Chase, right? About these three kids?
All right. Yeah.
Where are we going with this, Jacob?
Who are you a big fan of?
Jacob?
Jacob.
What?
Where are we going?
Where? Yeah. Where do you think we are? Your homeroom?
What?
I'm 40, for Christ's sake.
Oh.
Now, what do you want?
Oh, yeah. Do you like any of those shows?
Yeah, I love The Simpsons. My name's Andrew Jacob, and I really love The Simpsons a lot. So I can relate to you on that, and I think I know the others. And I love The Three Stooges with both their lineups.
Do you also like George Shrinks?
All right.
I think so. If you whatever you like, I like. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Thanks.
All right there, buddy.
Okay, bye.
All right, good times. I'm going with Virgin,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Good bet.
All right. That was a fantastic screening job, by the way. It was fantastic.
So you wanted a short, quick, concise call.
It says guest, huge fan.
He's a fan of totally unrelated
fan of everything else.
But he is a huge fan, so
yes,
that's all he said.
A fan.
All right.
That's good.
I'm a huge fan.
And he was very enthusiastic.
That's how we answer the phone.
That's right. Brittany?
Fan of everything.
Brittany?
Hi.
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
All right, I'm 15 and my boyfriend's 17, and we've been going out for about almost 2 years.
Does your parents let him spend the night?
No, I wish.
All right.
But we just recently have been having sex, but for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And,
can I ask a quick question? Just right off the bat. So
if
they don't let him sleep over, meaning they don't condone you guys having sex, right? Your parents, do they know your parents know that you are?
No.
And do you think if they did, they wouldn't be happy about it, right?
No, they wouldn't.
So where do you do it? Like, how do you...
Automobiles.
No, not in automobiles.
Parks?
I'm not like that.
In bushes and things?
No, at his house.
His house.
Okay, his house.
So his parents allow?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, what's the question?
Okay, I was just wondering, like, hold on just a second.
All right. I swear to Christ. I tried. God knows I tried.
You really did.
Put this on a tape, and I'm going to play for my program director. He yells at me every time I see him, take calls, take calls, take calls. God knows I tried. I tried. I was silent. I said, "What? I'm trying to get to it. What do you want? When you say to the guest, we're going to get a prompt." Nothing. We couldn't do it.
Both of those, yeah.
Handball against the curtains. The first kid couldn't even hear me talking to him. He had no idea what I was talking about. I just wanted to talk about a 70-year-old TV show.
He called to a different show, I think, is what he thought.
Yes. Brittany spoke to us like there was a guy jumping up and down, flapping his arms, trying to get her attention the entire time she was on the phone with us. All right, that's it. I've learned my lesson. No more talking to you.
Well, no one can't say you tried. You did try.
Why should I talk to you when I'm so interesting?
That's true.
All right. Andrew W.K., who's also interesting, and Dr. Drew's got a degree between the three of us. We don't need these goddamn callers. You see what we get? All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, Andrew W.K. here tonight. Your friend, Andrew W.K. Name of the show, Saturday Nights on MTV2. Also, The Wolf, name of the CD. And I swear to Christ, we're going to hear a song off of that CD.
Are we going to start with that?
No, we're going to...
Take a call.
No. You're right. You're right. I've been burned. Burned for years over that take a call thing.
You picked up my drawing here.
Andrew.
You don't do it like this, Adam.
No, I Dr. Drew's holding a little pen drawing I've just been doodling on as we've been talking here. But I was inspired by you, Adam, because you were doodling as well. And it seemed
But look at his.
Can we get a look at yours?
Yeah, mine. I usually write numbers in succession.
Yeah.
I just write one, yes. Two. I get to about 35, and then I get bored or I can't figure out what the next set is. But, yeah, I do a little doodling.
Yeah, his are quite good, too.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, exactly.
Or maybe it means everything. I have no idea.
If you interpret it the right way, it could mean just about anything you want.
Yeah.
Are we going to play the song?
Yeah, we are going to play the song.
Let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
Let's just get it over
with. I don't look at it that way.
Oh, I'm looking at it that way. But I like this song.
You do.
It's called Your Rules.
That's what it is.
And, we'll be right back.
little Andrew WK for you. Your Rules, name of the song. The Wolf, name of the CD. And also we said we would talk a little about the TV show on MTV.
Yes. Tell us all about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to. This is a TV series on MTV 2, which is in its infancy. It's been on the air for 3 weeks. I'm amazed that it went on the air at all. And in fact, when we were filming this show, we filmed the whole season already. It's 9 episodes. I wouldn't even tell people about the show because I was so convinced that it wouldn't even go to air. Mm-hmm. Because who in their right mind would let me have my own show? Not only that, but let me have the freedom to make the show about whatever I wanted. That's exactly what MTV2 did. And with that freedom, I chose to make it not just about me, but hopefully a group or a public show that's open to anybody. And the way the show works is it's an advice show, much like you'd write into Dear Abby or Ann Landers, professionals, maybe people calling in here, you know, looking for advice, mm-hmm. Except that I'm not qualified or certified or legally authorized to help them. However, my desire to help is as strong as anyone else's, and when they write in their letters, I answer them on the air, I give written answers, and best of all, I'll go to their house in person and try to help them out.
Really?
That's the way it works, yeah, and it's been phenomenal. I mean, just for me, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
We're the same, except for we yell at our callers, and then yeah. I put them on hold because they remind me of something I'm PO'd about.
Well, I learned a lot from, I've learned a lot from my first experience here. And
oh, really?
Yeah, well, what not to do,
oh,
you know,
okay.
from your end. And then, you know, Dr. Drew has a nice, soothing, comforting, authoritative tone that I think, you know, is good. And I can't muster up that kind of professional angle, but the advice I usually give is pretty general, and usually encourages a mindset which will help anyone deal with any problem. So even if you can't relate to the exact thing we're talking about, hopefully you can benefit from the general wisdom or lack thereof.
Let's put some of that to use. See, that's called a flawless segue on one of our calls. And by the way, MTV 2, first off, I can only imagine what they pay. We're on MTV 1, and we're still paying them, actually. We own it.
True, you had to pay to the Love Line?
We had to pay to be on the air.
Wow.
And Drew, we got a check due, actually, because it's coming up on the middle.
Your dues are due.
Yeah. It's the second Thursday, third Thursday of every
Your
month,
Viacom dues.
Yeah. 10 years. So we got to keep paying on that. And number two, yeah. They don't tell you what to do because when you don't pay someone, you can't really tell them what to do. Like, I can't go down the sidewalk and just yell at some stranger.
Did you manage to yell at Chris?
But if you paid them, then you could yell at them?
Chris gets a whole $10 an hour.
Okay.
No, I just mean, you're saying that MTV2 gives you the freedom to do whatever you want.
That's right. Because the budget is so low, which it is. It's very humble beginnings. The budget is so low that how could they not let me have control?
How could they require anything of me?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
That's a good side out of the lack of funds.
I tell engineer Chris to give me a little coffee warm up. He tells me to blow myself because we're not paying him. Or if we are, it's really.
And you have to respect that.
Yeah. Actually, engineer Chris gets about $2.95 over minimum wage out here in California.
Well, that's $2.95 more than a lot of people make.
That's right. Yep. Except for a lot of people work more than 2 hours a night. That's a tough part. He spends that in gas to get it. He spends what he makes here in gas to get out here every night.
I hate to encourage Adam here, Drew, but I want to go back just for 1 second. Is the slogan here really slow it down? Is it really?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
They run, about 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago on the news, it was big news that the California Highway Patrol was going to be cracking down on speeders.
And any slower, you'd be going in reverse, essentially, right?
Abso-goddamn-lutely. Okay.
You vanish.
Yeah, and it becomes
Step
news.
Into a parallel universe.
And they have to hold a press conference, by the way, to crack down on, let everyone know, hey, word's out. Yeah, you guys stuck in gridlock, we're cracking down. Look out. You live 6 miles from your work. As the crow flies, it takes you an hour and 15 minutes to get to work. We're cracking down on speeders.
You'll watch crows flying by much faster than you.
I'll tell you something. You will have guys pass you on mountain bikes in L.A.
Those mini motorcycles.
No.
A woman with a walker will pass
Drew,
you.
Yeah. Do not crap on my point. What are you doing, by the way,
you mean
with the coffee
bikes,
mugs and the doors? And
Drew just opened the door and handed a mug mysteriously
you
out.
You will have guys pass you on bicycles. If you go on, like Ventura Boulevard or one of the main thoroughfares, Sepulveda, whatever, and you just sort of, you speed up, you'll pass them, and then you'll stop at a signal and it'll lock up again. You'll end up getting all the way down the road. The guy will have beat you.
Now, they don't have to slow it down, right? They don't have to slow it down.
No.
This is for four-wheel automobiles.
Yes, okay. Yes. The main people they're looking out for are the jaywalkers.
The graffiti
the people
artists.
Smoking on the beach. No, they're not looking for the graffiti the taggers. Guys.
No, they're looking out for them.
They're
looking out for their best interest.
That's right.
Okay.
Robin?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, lately when I've gone to have sex with my boyfriend, his penis is, like, really raw and, like, peeling.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know, like dry skin peeling. And I don't know if it's something that I should be worried about, if he's just
How long
like,
has it been like that?
I would say off and on for the past several months.
And
I mean,
what
like,
does he say about it, though? I mean, like have you asked him about it?
He tells me that either, like, when we have sex, if I've got a thong on, that it's rubbing against the thong.
Oh.
Or that his latest excuse was that we were having sex and he was going in my rear, basically, and didn't have
more
lubrication.
All right.
So more or less you're having anal sex with a thong on. That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, the edge of the thong becomes like a squeeze.
I don't know if it's,
like a dork
if, you know, if that's
I mean,
really the reason
thong.
Or if he's jacking off too much or...
All right, hold on a second. Maybe it's maybe his penis is molting. Did that come? Is that when a snake sheds its skin?
Yeah, it could be in the pupa phase and heading into the
adult
larva
pupa.
Yeah,
interesting. This Robin sounds like a real good time. Now I'm not sure what she's getting at. I think she's
worried that there's something more than just irritation there. Should be.
Then maybe he doesn't even know.
He doesn't know.
Right.
Here's the. I need one question with her. Do you have any irritation?
No.
Nothing.
No, nothing at all.
You're clean as a whistle.
See, she sounds partially like she thinks maybe he's got something or has been stepping out. The other part just sounds like just sort of general disdain.
Right.
As you'd expect.
Well, it's gross.
Yeah, from chafing.
Are you angry at him?
No.
No, it's like it's gross. Why doesn't he take care of his penis?
Do you think he's been cheating on you?
Oh, I always think that.
Oh boy.
No. Why do you always think that?
Well, because he's married and with me.
Oh, okay. See, I got Robin's got. She don't like guys that much.
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
My dad? He's at home.
Why would you go for an unavailable guy?
Yeah. What the heck?
Because when we started dating, he wasn't married. We dated for like 3 years off and on. And then
he
was
able to get married. Oh, by the way, I'd like to hang out with this guy. Who's able to pull off a marriage in actually dating someone else and marry someone else? It's one thing. You know, you've been together for 11 years. Your wife travels a lot for business. You got a little something going on the side. It's another thing to be in a relationship and then marry someone 2 years into the relationship.
That's as close as you can get to polygamy, legally.
Wow.
Probably.
This guy's a prick.
Yeah.
And she's found out about us before, so she knows that.
Well,
know,
he's a chafing prick.
You could always
through.
Play the I got here first argument. You know what I mean? It's not like he's... The wife
might not take well to that argument, though.
I've tried to do that with my wife, where I explained to her I have to grandfather in some of the ladies I was with before you. Oh, yeah. No, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm sure she's very understanding about that.
Like in hockey, the guys who were in the league before the helmet rule came around didn't have to put the helmet on.
Is that true?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they weren't used to it.
They were there first.
Okay.
They were grandfathered in. That's why.
That's great.
There was always like three old guys with no helmet. What a league, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Robin.
Robin, yeah. Maybe he's doubling. You know, he has so much activity here. He's trying to keep both relationships going. His penis never has a chance to heal.
He's just rubbed raw.
The other thing that will
Holy
look.
Cow.
The other thing will look like
a candle.
This,
both ends.
Whatever, burning. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle, really.
And why don't you? Hold on, Robin. Why don't you break up? Why don't you just go find a nice guy?
Well, we have a kid together.
Oh, yeah. Holy God, this guy's an asshole. Listen, he's a crying criminal.
Yeah.
He's like a
piece of ass. And what's your problem, by the way? You just hell bent on being the world's crampiest mom?
No, I'm a good mom.
No, I'm sure you're great. Well, a good mom would find a husband and a guy to help raise the son or daughter.
A good way to avoid the problem of seeing his chafing private parts would to be not see him at all anymore. And you'd find that in life, as much fun as it is to have drama and emotional tension and relationship roller coasters, you can also put that time into just raising the kid and not have to deal with him anymore.
And you do have reason to be concerned. Yes, absolutely. And reason to be concerned about the... the on fire penis, because herpes can look like that.
That's true.
Could be herpes.
That's true.
But the fact that you have no symptoms sort of suggests perhaps.
No, and I get checked every 3 months because I had a leap procedure done last August. I'm checked for everything every 3 months.
All right, so Robin, and by the way, what are you Nimrod's using for protection so you don't get pregnant again?
I'm on the pill.
All right. I like you a little bit more. So
maybe just wear a condom until it's... thing heals.
Just break it up. It's been a 3-year experiment that hasn't gone well at all. How about you just find it? You're 25.
Yeah, you got your whole life in front of you.
Yeah, 25. You got a kid. Your mom. How about you just break it off with this guy, find a nice, secure guy. I know it's going to freak you out. Someone who can be intimate and treat you right and have a life, would you? All right.
Okay, I've tried that before.
All right.
Yeah, tried that before, yeah. Okay. I'm sure he's around.
You got to try and try every day for your whole life.
Not with a-holes, Robin. Yeah, with the boring guy.
Never going to do any better than this guy. Really? He's married. He got married after you guys
met. Now, I wonder if they had the kid before that, or who knows? Oh. Does he have a kid with the other wife? And is that kid
Sure. Listen, one thing I know is when a-holes start spitting out the kids, they have them all over the place.
Because addictive, right?
I'm like old blues singers.
They get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
It's something to do. You know, a lot of these problems, friends that I've had or people I've known that get themselves entangled in the most bizarre, awful relationship things, it's at the end of the day, it's something that keeps them busy. You know what I mean?
Keeps them distracted from real feelings.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's great. It's
too bad.
Yeah, here's what we should do. Why don't we just take an axe to the side of the boat, let some water come rushing in, and then we can start bailing, and that way we can stay busy.
We're busy.
Yeah, think of the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
The endorphins you get.
We can't stop. We'll die. Adam?
Hello?
23-year-old Adam?
Something's wrong with the phone. Let's talk to
Sadie.
Sadie?
Hi.
Hey, you're 21.
Hi. I just actually wanted to say that I love Andrew WK, and he's really hot. And I just want to know, you're welcome, man. Are your white clothes that you always wear, are they really dirty, or are they pretending to be dirty?
Oh, they're pretty
and
dirty.
The clothes,
well, if they are dirty, I should or I shouldn't?
It doesn't matter. You just... go out to dinner.
Oh, either way. Okay. Well, maybe once you hear this, you'll second think that. But the clothes that I wear on tour, which are the clothes that you normally see me in, the white ones that I was wearing earlier today, for example, I got in the habit of not washing, which is unhygienic. And I did get skin rashes and other things like that.
Good time.
From not bathing. Yes. But I stayed with the non-bathing. I stayed with the not washing of the clothes. And it's a very physical concert we put on. There's a lot of sweat. I am sopping wet at the end of every show. And instead of washing those clothes or washing myself, I simply take them off, throw them into a ball in the closet, and then put them on the next day. Because much like Pavlov's dog, I have a psychological and then physiological response to putting on the wet clothes, smelling the mildew and the fungus and the bacteria. And it does help me perform better.
Keeps your edge.
Yeah, it keeps my edge.
Well,
and it keeps people at bay.
Okay.
But hold on, can't you air dry it? I mean, how hardcore do you have to be?
Well, in the summer, for example, if we're doing outdoor shows, I will lay them out in the sun, and they can stand up on their own actually when they dry like that. There's so much salt from all my sweat.
Is there a critical period after which you convert?
What actually wash them?
Yeah,
the complaints, because I don't want to ultimately offend my bandmates.
So when it hits 50 hobo power, when his bandmates vomit, then he's in.
After about 45, 46 concerts, I will wash them.
Would be able to muster a little hobo power, anything?
Hobo power?
I would imagine it's a unit of stink.
Oh, okay, cool.
There's no unit of smell.
Well, I've always said that I don't smell, the clothes do.
Right. And I'm looking at Andrew's shoes and socks right now.
They're a little dirty, too. Yeah.
And I'm noticing his fingernails as well.
I've been cleaning them. What, say that again?
You clean your underwear?
Well, occasionally.
How dare you?
Yeah, no.
You cannot judge.
How dare I? Is that a bad question?
That's a very good question. Occasionally, yes, I try to get as much mileage out of every pair as I can. And actually, despite what you might think, sweat, especially if you consume a lot of fluids, does have a way of cleaning toxins out of your body and moving your blood around. And I don't wash my hair either. And I do have some boils on my head right now, and I'm not proud of this. Despite all of this, I have a girlfriend, which even amazes me as I'm sitting here. So I thank you for asking me to go on a date. No.
You seem very, very good.
Wow. That is very good, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, cruel. All right.
Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm very glad that you like this. Please continue to support the music and all that.
Let me say this: I don't get. I got bad hygiene too.
Yeah,
you have no sweat, no stink.
You have that?
No sweat.
Not that touches your clothing; it drips off your face onto the ground.
No, but I will soak a shirt if I work out. And you know what I get? I get sack funk.
Mm.
And
oh,
the
boy.
Sack funk on a guy
trumps all.
That's really the deal breaker.
Yeah, that is bad.
Which is weird. I mean, that's where you guys want the action.
Well, when you can smell it, just when you go to the bathroom and you unzip and you can smell it from there, that distance.
Why don't you keep it pristine? What's the harm?
I don't have any choice. It's an what you call act of God.
No, I know.
Disaster down there.
You have to pile on by never letting water touch it?
This is a forest fire. This isn't a bridge collapse.
Packing it in paper mache talc? I mean,
I try to keep it fresh. I am able to generate funk from that area.
My point is, why not bathe twice a day?
Why not do what?
Then he'll get too dry.
Bathe, shower twice a day.
I'm on your side, Adam. Don't do it.
Once a day.
Stay with it.
Here,
just the paper mache casing. I just don't think it's the right idea.
I dump talc down there. I combat the funk.
It does. It turns the talc condenses, mixes with the oils, the bacteria, and turns into like a plaster of Paris.
Andrew, yeah. I was just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Andrew knows. He uses ball powder.
Evidently.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, why your fingernails? Did you tear down a transmission today? What's going on with those fingernails?
They're black. I don't know. When I travel, it seems that my fingernails collect more crud. And what's weird is I'm trying to clean them right here at the studio on your desk here.
Please.
And I'm not making much headway.
In the coffee, please. In the coffee.
Yeah. They're not getting much cleaner.
Here's the whole thing about the funky or black fingernails. You got to work on a car in order to get your fingernails to look like that normally.
Yeah, I didn't work on a car.
Maybe you're just scratching your scalp or something.
Your sack.
No, then it would be white. That would be white underneath my fingernails, and this is black. Oh,
what is
I just
it?
Reminded.
What is it?
Reminded me of something. I thought of the word white, and it reminded me of something else. And I thought we might talk about the wet dream experience I had.
Oh, you meant to bring that up.
And I did.
Well,
and
we were actually holding out for Dennis Miller's kids, remember?
Oh,
well,
okay.
They're still here. They're not
they're
here.
Gone. They're
okay.
Gone.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on. Couple of things. First off, we got to take a break.
Okay.
Explain what I just said.
Secondly, Dennis Miller, the comedian Dennis Miller, commentator Dennis Miller.
I saw him. I was transfixed.
Was out here. I'm a big fan. Was out here tonight. I'm not sure why. I think his kids are fans of the show.
His older son is a fan of the show.
What's his older son's name? No, they have cool, Holden, right?
Holden.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a cool name, right?
Yeah, he came out here and was here.
He had a day with his father. Went and saw a show, went to Universal Studios.
Oh, cool.
Went to the Palms and top it off, came here.
We hung out.
Wow.
Although the fortunate part is I only come here 4 minutes before the show begins. So we hung out for a minute and a half, said hi to the kids, and then they split. But they're listening to the show.
His youngest son.
He's 10.
Marlon was with him. He's
Marlon,
10. We were
yeah.
trying to not expose him to too much.
Right. So the point is Marlon has said hi to the Sandman about an hour ago.
Yeah.
So we can get as filthy as we want.
And Andrew came in here with a head of steam, wanted to talk about masturbation and wet dreams.
Right in.
Andrew,
with the wet
hold out. Hold
Andrew's
on.
Had a wet dream. So we're going to hear about
and
that.
And if the history he's been describing is accurate, that should still be with him.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's with me. This is.
No, I don't mean
on
I mean
his
your
person.
On your person. It's just,
on.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Well, there's remnants. I had a. Well.
All right.
Drew. Okay. Where's that vomit song? Where is it, please?
And you know my sensibilities.
Thank you.
Are not easily offended.
No kidding.
All right, Andrew WK here tonight. We're going to come back. We'll hear about his wet dream after this. Hey, everybody.
So that's a good Jay-Z song here. I love this tune. What about you, Adam?
I love Jay-Z.
Okay, cool.
Just that 99.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Collins went up 8-1.
Yeah.
You told me how much you hated it last week, so I try not to play it.
I like it.
I think I was talking about you. Andrew WK is here tonight. The Wolf, name and CD.
Very happy to be here. Very, 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 very happy to be here.
Really?
Absolutely. Like I said,
very glad to have you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back. Andrew, before we left, was going to tell us about a nocturnal emission he had.
Has.
Oh, well, yeah.
Has?
Well, see, now I very honestly and openly admitted that I don't follow the hygiene regimen of such cleanly guys as Dr. Drew. And now he turns it around on me and tries to mock me.
There are guys in the Taliban that have a better hygiene regimen than you do. Training in the desert with their inexplicable monkey bar.
Why is there
one thing? I do wash my hands a lot. Wash my hands. I wash them every time I use the bathroom, before and after. Wash them before I eat food, out of respect for other people.
Oh, we picked that up with the black fingernails. But what's with the blood coming down your head?
As we mentioned this before, I have a cut on my head here that...
Well, that's your trademark, isn't it?
I've had it before, yeah. It's actually really easy for me to open it up.
I see.
It's some scar tissue there, and as you know, facial wounds do bleed very easily.
I see.
Right.
It's a standby of wrestlers. I actually was at a backyard wrestling thing the other night. That's why I have it, so
okay.
It's no big deal. But anyway.
The emission.
Okay, so I don't know, the last time I was on the show, which was about a year and a half ago, I was, 23 at that time, or 24. I'm 25 now. Throughout my whole life, never had a nocturnal emission or a wet dream, or in other words, when you uncontrollably.
But you were sleeping with your girlfriend at 15.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
So yeah, I was getting what I needed. Yeah.
Empty
I was
your very sack empty. Every night before you go to bed.
So my sack was not heavy, and but still,
into a condom that your girlfriend's dad gave you 10 minutes before you filled it.
After killing the.
Jesus, yeah, right.
This is true. So this is what we've all learned tonight, and I've exposed very openly and willingly. Now I will continue to expose you to more details of my life. And so anyway, my generation, like most now, learned about all this stuff in school. We learned about wet dreams and this and that and the other, and they presented like you're going to have one.
Right.
That's how it was presented. Okay, it's normal, because they so don't want you to be freaked out when it does happen that they really build up a lot of anticipation. So the years go by, you know, I'm 13, 14, 15, 16, nothing. I ended up forgetting about it.
Right.
But every now and then it would come up in conversation with friends, I think all of which had them. And I would usually say I hadn't, but I did feel weird, so I wouldn't go into it too much. Lo and behold, after all 25 years of existing, I finally had one. And it was
after Loveline last time.
Tuesday.
It was a few weeks ago.
Oh,
and it was fantastic.
Nice. It's great, right?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was a dream. It all seemed very quick. You know, I know they say that all dreams are only take up a few seconds or minutes of time, even if they seem like hours. But this did seem quick, even in the dream. I was filming myself having intercourse with some woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 2 seconds of the dream. And then before I knew it, I was awakened by the sensation of an orgasm. And this was on the tour bus, actually.
Oh, that's good times.
With everybody around, so I had to carefully remove myself from my bed in the tour bus and make my way to the bathroom to clean myself up and was sort of in a haze for the rest of the day.
Rest of the day.
Yeah, it really affected me. I talked about it with everybody, and they were all very happy and proud of me.
Sure.
But I still felt a bit baffled as to why, after all that time, it would happen now. And I, even though I don't get to see my girlfriend all the time, I unload myself, you know, whenever need be.
Sure.
And so it wasn't like I had a lot of pent up deals or anything, but
Drew,
the deal?
It is interesting, and maybe nobody has the answer to that, but they do seem to hit at odd times.
Yeah.
And now I know you can do the math. If you don't have a girlfriend and you don't beat off, and for me, let's say 12 hours goes by, something's going to come out by itself. And by the way, I just look at it as God giving you a handy. That's God saying, hey, mister, guess you forgot to beat off.
So I'll take care of it.
I got to take care of
it. That's him lending a hand. That's a great way to look at it.
That's what he does. He moves in very mysterious ways. Okay, but.
Pleasurable ways.
But. Creepy minister. God moves in mysterious and sometimes pleasurable ways.
You go in, say, Father, the other day something very strange happened to me when I was sleeping. Well, you know, son, God works and moves in very mysterious ways, and that was his way of, helping you.
Yeah,
this is your next TV show.
Oh, boy.
And WK, weird minister.
Yeah, interprets the Bible.
It can be interpreted any way you want it.
Okay, so sometimes it's obvious. Other times, for one reason or another, it just seems to happen every blue moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm probably good for a nocturnal emission. I'm probably on the... You know what I got? Here's all you want in life, by the way. Here's how you know you're doing good. You want more nocturnal emissions than wet the bed.
Yes, you're doing okay.
At the end of your life, when you total it up, yeah. if you got like...
Including the diaper soaks when you're an infant.
If you got like 20... No, you can't.
Yeah, I think you got those too.
Including the diapers?
No, because at that point, you couldn't emit even if you had wanted to.
Are you high, Drew? You do that every night for 3 years.
I'm saying you really want to count a good... Tally.
I respect what you're trying to do, but I think it needs to start at puberty.
Andrew knows you're an idiot. Yeah, okay. He's being kind.
No, I'm just saying to accumulate the number of...
Look, seriously, this is Adam's thing. Serious for a second.
The reason I say that is because the average person doesn't wet the bed ever at night. The average person
will have... There's that little flare-up period when you think you're kind of potty trained, but you have a little mistake every once in a while.
That's pretty unusual. That's a couple of times.
I'm adding them up.
Adam, nocturnal emissions
should be in the dozens and dozens.
Are you serious?
What?
Yeah. Before guys really get... Well, you got good with the master.
Dozens and dozens.
No.
Yeah.
True.
See, if he has an experience, it's normal.
Not as an adult, but as an adolescent,
there should be dozens and dozens.
Should be dozens. So did you have dozens?
Andrew, do you talk about yourself? Do you talk about?
True. How many? True. Now this makes me.
Here we go.
You're into the thousands. Hold on, be honest. Did you just have one?
I wasn't asleep.
Did you just have
that
one?
That was not nocturnal.
Okay, but we got to count that as half. There's an emission. And it is nighttime.
Okay, you're right.
All right.
That's true.
I technically got you. No, here's...
That's why they built it up to you guys in the education class. It's not just going to happen. It's going to happen for a little while there.
It's not going to be hundreds of times, but probably dozens and dozens.
A couple dozens.
This is going to...
24 times?
Hold on. Quite true. Look, he's a doctor and knows nothing. let me ask Chris, and this may haunt me, but please, buddy, be serious.
What's the question?
First off, yeah, he's listening to John and Jeff on KLSX
First of all, a lot of them guys...
Chris is the engineer here.
Don't start backpedaling. All right, engineer Chris.
Yes.
How many nocturnal emissions do you think you've had...
Total. In your life?
Total.
Yeah. Total.
Maybe five.
Maybe five. Okay.
I think most of them are 15.
That was when freshman year.
Before you get your groove on.
By the fifth time, were you thinking, wow, I wish this would end? Or are you thinking, wow, this is really cool. I'm starting to really get into
this. No, I thought it was cool. Yeah.
Okay. His mom was wishing it would end. had to drop an elbow on the sheet to get it off the bed.
Thanks.
All right.
It shatters. When your mom cleans your sheet and it shatters... Yeah. And dust particles, well, not dust particles, but particles of something fly off the bed, crystallized sheet.
It's supposed to look like a windshield that's been cracked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you freeze things with dry ice.
Yes.
All right. Liquid nitrogen on the sheet. Hey, Adam.
Yo.
You're 23. How many nocturnal emissions would you say you've had in your life?
I've only had two.
There we go. That's better.
Hey. Do you understand now, Drew? A man of exquisite passion.
Why is it such a big deal?
Because everything is a big deal when the first time I almost had an orgasm, I was depressed for weeks.
Because you didn't have it, or it freaked you out?
I had found a new way. After much handiwork, like your toothbrush. No. A new way, just with my hands, and it really was exciting. And I took it to a new level. And just when I thought I should stop, I went for it. And a sensation almost started, and I freaked out. I stopped everything, went in bed, and I think tears welled up in my eyes because I knew at that point there was no turning back.
Wow.
Yet I was still high and dry in the night, the night shots for years.
Well, let's.
Apparently, I was supposed to have had like 24 by this point.
Well, as you'll learn soon, Drew is wrong about almost anything. Ryan,
yes,
you're 20.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. How many nocturnal emissions would you say you've had in your lifetime?
None.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
All right. Now, hold on 1 second. We got 1, 5. 3 and 0. We're averaging about 2.16.
And maybe you're right, but I would
From his experience and from Drew's own personal experience, 24 is the average.
No, no.
He said dozens and dozens.
Yeah, I would say it'd be in the order of dozens.
Dozens and dozens means 48, because dozens would be at least two dozen.
Adam.
And dozens would be another at least two dozen.
I'm forgetting he's a passionate man.
No, he didn't forget that. That's the point he's trying to make.
Never discount the passion factor. The P factor.
So much passion.
Huge. Yes. All right. All right.
I feel a lot better now, so thank you.
Okay, I'm going to get on the web right now.
All right, get on the web. Get on the web, you idiot. You're not going to find anything on the web.
What's the authority? Do you go to your own website? That doesn't count. If you go to your own website, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Dozens and dozens. Dozens would be 24. Another dozens is another 24. So he's, from what I understand, at least had 48.
Listen, he's a man of exquisite passion and extreme stupidity. I have to correct him all the time.
Oh,
all right,
boy.
Adam.
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah.
Your friend gave you Viagra.
Right.
All right, well, hold on
Holy
a second.
Smokes, man.
Drew's on the web looking for answers. Hold on a second. Ryan over here is a big Andrew W.K. fan, so we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
We don't need Drew for that. Go ahead. Lavish love and praise on Andrew W.K.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I actually have two questions. The first one is, why are you so positive all the time? I mean, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's a good thing.
Well, thank you. You know, I don't even look at it as being positive or negative, or it's not that simple. I try to be thankful for having the chance to feel any one way. And like anybody, I have plenty of bad moods. In fact, when I was younger, as we've been talking about my younger years, I was quite angry and not so positive, as you put it. But nowadays, I try to look at things in an honest way. And usually, even when things are not technically good or happy, if I'm honest, I usually can't find reason to be bummed out right now in my life. A lot of people can in this world, and I'm thankful that I'm not one of them. But I just try to make the best of situations and look at things in an honest way, and usually that's a good feeling. I think the truth, you know, is inherently good. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
All right, Ryan, and listen, now, why not everybody? Be positive. Be happy. And let me
really,
say this,
true.
Too.
It's true.
You want people to hang out with you. You want people to like you. You want people to invite you to the party, to the softball game. You want people just to go, well, if we're getting a group of guys together to go watch the ball game, we should definitely call Andrew. If you want to be that guy who gets included on everything, be in a decent mood once in a while. Everyone walks around like they bit into a lemon filled with crap, and then they wonder, why is it? And these are the same a-holes, Drew, back me up. These are the same a-holes who get angry at the people for not inviting you. It's like, listen, we didn't invite you because you're an a-hole.
That's right. True.
Right. You know, they get like, how dare you? These guys went here and there. They saw that movie. They went and saw that movie. They went to the concert. They went, and they didn't even
That's why.
Instead of being angry at them, why don't you take a good look in the mirror?
It's the same thing as if somebody gets fired and then they start just railing on their employer. It's like,
too.
Okay,
I did the work of 10 employees and I never asked for anything and I get fired. It's you got fired because you do the work of a small army and you never asked for anything? Yeah, that's what people think. Yeah, and I love that. I love the boss's jealous excuse. Yeah, he hates it when his employees are ultra productive.
It's very easy. It's very easy to look at what you don't have and use that to get bummed out, but if you look at what you do have, it's very easy to be happy. And most people probably that are listening to this show, despite some of the callers we've had, have definitely had adversity, and especially the guy that was blind, him especially. But even he had a pretty good attitude and was writing a book. And was so look at your situation. Think of how much worse it could be. Think of other people, whether they're in the Middle East and being blown apart by bombs or whether they're here getting their eyes blown up by meth, experiments. Be glad that you have what you have and do what you can to make the best of it.
And let me just say this, too. You got to bring something to the party. Otherwise, you ain't going to get invited. Now, me, I'm a genius and a literal millionaire. That's why I get invited to things. I can afford to have a puss on. If you're stupid and poor, you better be nice, in a good mood, and friendly.
That's
all. Make people want you like
that's
you.
That's right. All right.
There
so Drew's on the computer trying to have the magic box prove him right.
What it said was.
Yeah, go ahead. And by the way, what it said was, it was written by a-holes like you.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
No, it said there's two populations. There's people that have many, many. I didn't say how many. But
like Dr. Drew.
And those that have very few or none.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's set that way.
It had to mention the one population was much smaller than the other.
I was looking for it to figure that out. I'll keep trying.
We'll keep going tonight. Yeah. Oh, Engineer Anderson. We got to include you in the poll. How did you do in the nocturnal emission department?
I'm still waiting.
Oh, see, there you go, one.
Man.
Haven't had one.
I think the zero.
All right.
See, to me, this suggests that guys get going with the masturbation very early now because of maybe all the sex education stuff.
Right.
Guys
right,
are
right.
trying this out. They're encouraged to do it.
True. So we have a bunch of, we have average age 30, average number of times 1.75. We're way off your
mark. Versus is 48.
Well, see if we can pick the pace up.
By the way, when I was been getting sex education in junior high school and stuff, the expectation was that is what will happen to you. Masturbation never came up.
Oh, really?
You're just going to
have
emissions. That's how that's going to come out.
Right.
I've never beat off, though, either.
Holy cow.
All right. Listen, I can't even begin to peel that rotten onion.
Can't even fathom.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Love line. Oh, Andrew, WK here tonight. He's got himself a show on MTV2 called Your Friend, Andrew WK, 9 o'clock Saturday night. Also, The Wolf, name of the CD, Dr. Drew, still on the internet trying to prove himself right about nocturnal emissions.
20% never have one. And what's weird, according to this quote, men with higher education experience it more often.
Oh, what?
Education experience and when you're 14? Everyone's in the ninth grade.
I'm just saying.
That's true. What does that even mean? People that went to kindergarten at a private school versus a...
Brian graduated from USC. Let's see how many he's done.
Phone screener Brian, what do you got?
I don't know about dozens, but many.
Really?
Oh, wow. What do you say out of here?
He said many.
Higher education, that's what I'm talking
Another
about.
Another man of passion.
Say anything about being gay, giving you more?
What do you...
can we point out something, though? Higher education has nothing to do with intelligence.
That's right. Thank you. That's
very important to remember.
That's right. Thank you.
How dare you.
Hey, phone screener Brian, what do you think? You think 10
you
or
think
we think more like 25?
48?
25 to 40, I guess.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know what? At that point, it's got to become an inconvenience. Right? Like, not again.
I think it's just the opposite. It becomes like heroin. It's like, I can see Brian in high school.
I got
like,
sleep.
Honey, it's 7:45 at night. Yeah, I'm going to turn in. Sweet pie, it's still light out. The street lights haven't come on. I'm going to bed.
All day at school, you're just pining and can't wait to get home to go to bed, focusing, reading books about lucid dreaming, trying to program your body into doing it on command.
Brian walking around his pajamas at 4:30 in the afternoon.
He's in a bestiality, like, though.
Eating turkey and drinking warm milk all day long.
Sweetie, we haven't served dinner yet. Yeah, that's all right. I'll catch breakfast. Brian going to bed at 7:45, getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
New sheets every day.
Ready to go to work.
New set of sheets every day.
All right. Well, there you go. And you know what that was? That is you thought your team had a commanding lead, and all of a sudden, quick steal, couple of three-pointers going into halftime, and pow, that 14-point commanding lead was cut down to 6 points right before you head into the locker room. That's what just happened there with Brian and his 45 times. Wow. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, but...
Higher education, too.
Still, I would argue that... so far we've talked to six or seven guys, but one of them had that.
This higher education thing is interesting because now it doesn't make any sense to ask our callers.
Oh, boy, you guys are so... Thank goodness you have callers.
Let me explain the higher education thing right here. The guys that were hitting the books were not hitting the poontang. The guys were...
That's true. That's exactly how to explain
and
it. That's exactly right.
Guys who do a little more reading, a little more studying, a little more, have a much more vivid imagination.
That's actually what they're speculating, one of these articles.
Is that what they said?
Stupid. My friends go to sleep, have dreams about cinder blocks. They're so goddamn stupid. These guys were on islands with all their sisters' friends on pirate ships and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, more evolved.
More evolved. Yeah. And it had to be because, like I said, the dumb jocks were out actually dipping their wick.
So the moral of the story here, ladies and gentlemen, read. Everybody, kids, read. Lots of reading.
Well,
and
it depends
get
which
your rest.
If you prefer your conscious waking state or the unconscious state, you can have the same
same
result.
That's right, right.
Read always.
You want to get off with your eyes open? you do it Andrew's way.
Look at pictures.
Adam,
what's up?
You're 23. No, he means actually be on top of a 15-year-old
with parental consent on both
sides.
That's
right. All right, go ahead, Adam.
Yo, well, I'm
23, and I got a Viagra from my friend. And I was wondering if it was okay for me to use it, like, without a prescription, or if I need a prescription for that, if I, like, have a heart attack, or...
What do you mean? Well, what do you mean if you need a prescription?
You have, what do you mean? What
you got it.
No, you have the medicine.
He means can he use it should without you falling use it? Over?
Yeah, but having a prescription is not going to make any difference.
He's just, it's semantics, Drew.
No, I'm just wondering, like, am I going to be okay? Jesus. And that my heart's not going to, like, explode if I, like, you know, didn't get myself checked
out. It's not pumping up your heart.
Yeah. We don't know. The bottom line is we don't know about healthy people using it. Certainly lots of healthy people do use it and seem to be okay. But like with any medicine, you don't want to take the risk of a medication unless there's really a medical indication for it.
Let's face it.
You're just doing it for fun, right? You're not experiencing problems.
Oh, no. I don't have like erectile dysfunction or anything, man. I'm 23.
Then why take it?
Well,
because, you know, I've had friends tell me that it's like amazing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, why have the chick pop an Altoid? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Why? Yeah, why not? We're trying to move it along.
Well, why do anything if you can pop a pill?
Hey, listen, Adam.
Yo.
Here's the whole thing. It's fine. But you don't want to rely on it, and you certainly don't want to make it the standard.
Yeah, okay. Dumbo's Magic Feather. That'd be a bad thing to get on a Viagra kick.
Ooh. Dumbo's Magic Feather.
Yeah, it made him fly.
Oh, it did. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then you rely on it, and then it just becomes the one. That becomes your erection, your orgasm, your whatever. Feather.
Next thing you know.
Reference. I like that.
Thank you very much.
Well, I have a 100 milligram tablet. Should I take the whole thing?
No,
take
do not half do that.
Of it. Yeah, take half it. Send me the other half. All right, we're going to... here's the thing. Obviously, it's not going to kill you, but millions of people take it every day.
Apparently.
You just do not... At 23, you don't need it.
100 is maximum dose.
When you're using stuff you don't need, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, 100 is maximum dose. Don't take 100.
But anyone who's paranoid enough about it, where he's been staring at it for 6 months, it's probably safe to take it once. He's not going to get strung out of
it. And enjoy it.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Show. I got to hurry up here because we're out of time. I'll tell you what you can do.
Website.
Yes, you can go and visit our website, www.andrewwk.com or www.awkworld.com. Or, of course, you can submit questions at mtv2.com.
Or you can see him auctioneering at...
you told me quick. Sotheby's. I did it quick.
I got you.
Andrew WK, your friend Andrew WK, MTV2. And The Wolf, the name of the CD. I want to thank, Bleeds a lot in his sleep. phone screener Brian for doing a great job. And by the way, he said between 25 and 45. That makes me hear like more than 500 times. phone screener Brian. And Anderson, who's never beat off a day in his life. We got to talk.
Never had an admission either.
Yeah. Okay. Then now my head is spinning like a dreidel. I want to thank engineer Chris, who came in, did me proud about five times. Lord. And A special shout out to junior producer Lawrence, going through a tough time. Father just passed away recently, so our thoughts and prayers are with her. And producer Ann, and of course, next time. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Hey, hey, boo boo. Make a Nick basket. anyway.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.